Hebrews chapter 11, and then we're going to Judges chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 30 down through verse 34, and then Judges chapter 6, verse 11 and verse number 12. Well, our hearts have been blessed. Hebrews chapter 11, look at verse number 30 down through verse 34. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah, of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. It sounds to me like as if those people of faith knew what it was to walk in victory. Judges chapter 6, please. We're going to use Hebrews chapter 11 as a springboard text to dive off into the main text, because there was a man mentioned in the 32nd verse of Hebrews chapter 11 that I read to you, and his name was Gideon. Judges chapter 6, and I want you to look at verse number 11 and verse number 12. Judges chapter 6, verse 11 and verse number 12. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak which was in Ophrah that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite, and his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. I'm going to speak this morning on this subject, becoming what God created you to be. Becoming what God created you to be. Let's get some help. Father, it's just been a blessing to be in your house today. Father, we are not standing on the Mount of Transfiguration today. But Father, like Peter said, it's good for us to be here. And Father, you have blessed our service. And Father, we ask that you will continue to bless our service and know that you will by faith. And Father, I pray that you would reach deep down on the inside of all of us. And Father, help us to become what you have created us to become. Father, I ask now if there's any loss, you'll save them by your grace and help them to become your children. And then, Father, for those of us who have already come to Calvary, Father, help us to begin to walk in those works that we should be walking in, doing the things that we should be doing. And then maybe, Father, maybe somebody would say, time would not allow me to tell of fill in the blank. Father, please have your will and your way. Do what only you can do in this service, in Jesus' name. Amen. I won't have you to turn there, but in Judges chapter 8, verse 28, it says, thus was Midian subdued before the children of Israel, so that they lifted up their heads no more. And The country was in quietness 40 years in the days of Gideon. 40 years. Now, 40 years is a generation. One thing that Gideon did in his lifetime was Gideon served his generation. Listen, there are many young people and older people alike who feel like they don't have a whole lot that they could offer to God. So many times they feel inadequate in some area. And maybe you feel like that today as you sit under the sound of my voice. I know Gideon, he felt that way. Yet he served his generation and made the Hall of Fame of faith. I just came to say he became what God created him to be. He was not always what he was supposed to be, but praise God, through the help of God, he became what God created him to be. And if God could use Gideon, praise God, God could use us. Gideon served his generation. He became what God created him to be. So let's notice some things about Gideon this morning. Number one, we want you to notice Gideon's condition. Gideon's condition. Gideon had a serious condition. Notice chapter 6, verse 11 down through verse number 13. And there came an angel of the Lord and sat under an oak, which was in Ophrah, that pertained unto Joash the Abiezrite. And his son Gideon threshed wheat by the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, The Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. And Gideon said unto him, O my Lord, if the Lord be with us, why then is all this befallen us? And where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord hath forsaken us and delivered us into the hands of the Midianites. Now, at this point, Gideon was in a bad situation, condition-wise. The name Gideon literally means hewer, one who cuts down, a warrior. If he lived up to his name, then he would be a man of strength. He would be a warrior. But yet there is no way that we could look at this text at the point to where we are right now and to say Gideon is a warrior. Gideon is one who's going to cut down. Gideon is a mighty man of valor. But praise God, he became what God created him to be. Listen, you may at this point, you may not be the father that God has created you to be, but you can become the father that God wants you to become. Maybe you're not the mother that you desire to be right now, but you can become the mother that God created you to be. Maybe you're not the husband or you're not the wife. Maybe you're not the servant of God that God created you to be, but you can become what God created you to be. Maybe you're not the victor over the devil like you ought to be, as the series we just finished, but through God you can become victorious and become a victor and not a victim. Look at Gideon's condition. Think about it. He was afraid. He feared the Midianites. A lot of people are operating their lives today in fear of success, fear of failure, fear to attempt. He was defeated in his attitude. He felt like as if things weren't going right for him and for those who were around at that time. He was discouraged because of his circumstances. He was disillusioned. He didn't believe that God was working anymore. He said, Where be all the miracles which our fathers told us of? The older generation told us about how God performed miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle, but I could see Gideon saying, but I don't see miracles working in my life. I don't see miracles working now in the nation's life. Where be all the miracles? Hey, maybe you're sitting here today and you're saying the same thing. Maybe you're sitting here today and maybe you need healing in your body and you're saying, where be all the miracles? Maybe you sit there this morning having a bill that's due and you don't know how you're going to pay that bill, and you say, where be all the miracles? Maybe you sit there today discouraged because of your failings or your faults or the things that you haven't achieved, and maybe you're saying, where be all the miracles? I need a miracle in my life. Well, Gideon didn't look like somebody that God could use. He didn't seem to be living up to his name at this point as he's hiding behind the wine press, threshing wheat, as he's questioning God about what is going on. But he became what God wanted him to be. Also, Gideon was poor. Gideon, the Bible says, was behind the wine press threshing wheat. Now, the wine press was not a large thing. It was small. And yet he was behind the wine press threshing wheat. If you're hiding behind a wine press threshing wheat, instead of being out in a place where you could literally throw that thing up and let the wind catch it and take the chaff away, then that means you didn't have a whole lot. If he's got enough that he can hide behind a wine press and thresh some wheat, then he must be poor. You say, well, preacher, that's just circumstantial evidence. That wouldn't hold up in a court of law. Well, in a court of law, then you need an eyewitness. And praise God, I've got an eyewitness account that Gideon and his family were poor. Look at verse number 15. And he said unto him, oh, my Lord, wherewith shall I save Israel? Behold, my family is poor in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house. Listen, Gideon said, my family's poor. And he said, I'm the least in the house. Listen, when you are afraid, when you are defeated, when you are discouraged, when you are disillusioned and broke, your condition is not all that great. You can have problems, but at least if you're not broke, you can deal with them a little bit better. But when you've got a lot of things going against you and you broke, you have some problems. Your family today might not be rich. Matter of fact, looking at you, I know you're not rich. But aren't you glad today by the grace of God? By the way, I didn't say you weren't blessed. I said you weren't rich. But aren't you glad today that God is not looking at your bank account? When God decides to put his hand on somebody, when God decides to use somebody, when God decides to bless somebody, he's not looking at your bank account. He's looking at your heart. And God can use you regardless of your social standing. Gideon's condition wasn't good. It wasn't good, but he served his generation. Thank God you don't have to have a lot. But if you've got a heart that God can speak to, God can do something great in your life. He became what God created him to be, and he made the hall of fame of faith. We see Gideon's condition, it wasn't good. But secondly, I want you to notice Gideon's potential. Notice Gideon's potential. Notice Judges chapter 6, and notice verse 12 and verse number 14. It says, and the angel of the Lord appeared unto him, and said unto him, the Lord is with thee, thou mighty man of valor. Now notice verse number 14. And the Lord looked upon him and said, go in this thy might, and thou shalt save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. Have not I sent thee? He is referred to as a mighty man of valor in verse number 12. But in verse number 11, he does not look like a mighty man of valor. It's a picture of a defeated man and a discouraged man. Anyone with eyes could see that this was no mighty man of valor. So then why was he referred to as such? Because, see, God does not only see us for what we are right now, But God sees us for what we can become through him. See, you may see yourself this morning in a certain light, and you may look down on yourself, but see, God can see you in a totally different light. And because God knew what he was going to become, God saw his potential. He was referred to as to what he could become instead of what he was at that time. Do you know one of the reasons why you're still around? Is because God's not through with you yet. God has a purpose for you. He's not through with you yet. Do you know the reason how come you didn't die in a car accident? Because God's not through with you yet. Do you know why God didn't wipe you off the face of the earth when you disappointed him? Because he's not through with you yet. Aren't you glad that God does not just look at us for what we are right now, but he says, I see some potential in you, and I can use you, I can bless you. Maybe today you see yourself as afraid, but God sees you as fearless. Maybe you see yourself as a victim today, but God sees you as a victor today. Maybe you see yourself as discouraged today, but God sees you down the road encouraged and encouraging others. Maybe you're disillusioned today because of your circumstances, but God sees you walking in his blessings with miracles working in your life. Maybe today you are poor, but God sees you blessed beyond measure. By the way, even financially. See, God sees what you can become. I won't have you to turn there, but in Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and verse 32, you can write it down, but it says, and the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. A couple of verses later, God said, Peter, the Lord said, Peter, you're going to deny me three times. Understand this. When the Lord was looking at Simon, he knew that that night, Simon was going to say, I don't know him. I don't know him. I don't know the man. But he wasn't focusing in on what Peter was going to be that night, even though he told him about it. The verse I read to you, he was looking at what Peter would eventually become. And he said, when thou art converted, once you've been turned around, once you're heading in the right direction once again, because of what you've gone through, strengthen your brethren. Strengthen your brethren. I'm glad today that God could look down the road and see what we could become. Instead of saying there's nothing that I can do with you because of what you are right now. Oh, aren't you glad? Aren't you glad that he sees your potential. He saw it with Paul. Others saw Paul as somebody who was trying to destroy Christians. But God saw Paul saved and one standing before kings. You don't know what God can do in your life in the future. Don't look at just where you are right now. You give your heart over to him and watch and see what he does in your life. Oftentimes, other people will look at us and they may see your flaws. Sometimes they may see your failings. But God looks at us and he sees our potentials. He sees what we can become. I had somebody tell me one time, I can't go soul winning because I might knock on the door and somebody would see me and remember the kind of life that I used to live. And I told the person, I said, listen, if they see the kind of life that they know you from, the kind of life that you used to live, hey, you can tell them I'm not the same person anymore. And it's because of Christ. Hey, all of us are sitting in here. We've got suits on. Many of us have dresses on. But you weren't always wearing a suit. You weren't always wearing a dress. You weren't always where you are right now. But God saw you at that point. But he also saw you where you are right now. Thank God for Jesus. That's why if we ever become anything, we have to say, all that I am and ever hope to be, I owe it all to thee. To God be the glory. We're not self-made people, but we are made by him. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Therefore, we ought to be entering into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise and be thankful unto him and bless his name. Aren't you glad he didn't throw you away? Sometimes you get on the wheel and sometimes the clay can get marred. Well, if you check out the story in Jeremiah, praise God, it was marred, but it was still in the hands of the potter. One thing about our Father, once you get in his hands, you're not going to get out of his hands. But sometimes you can get marred. But thank God he doesn't see you only as a marred vessel. He sees you as a vessel he can remake into another vessel. See God using you in a mighty way. See God blessing your life. See God helping you to become the person that you need to become. He sees your potential. Teenager, do you have a talent? See God using your talents and your abilities for the honor and glory of God. Adults, the eyes of the Lord are still running to and fro, trying to find somebody that he can show himself strong on behalf of. Believe that you have potential. See God using you. Become what God created you to be. God saw Gideon's potential. He sees your potential. We see Gideon's condition. We see Gideon's potential. Number three, we see Gideon's God. We see Gideon's God. Notice Judges chapter 6. And notice verse number 16. Judges chapter 6. Notice verse number 16. It says, and the Lord said unto him, surely I will be with thee, and thou shalt smite the Midianites as one man. God was telling Gideon that Gideon would be victorious because he was with Gideon. If God be for us, who can be against us? See, thank God. Hey, you can be a victor today. You can become what God created you to be because you have God with you. Now, you have to make sure that you have him with you. Say, how do I get him with me? Well, first you have to be in his family. Say, how do I get into God's family? Well, you can't get there by being baptized. You can't get there by joining a church. You get there by repenting of your sins and asking Jesus Christ to come into your heart, forgive you of your sins, and save your soul, and he will cleanse you from every sin you have ever committed, wash you clean in the blood of the Lamb, adopt you into his family as his child, have you seated in heavenly places in Christ. Just came to me. I told you how he sees not just what you are right now, but what you can be in the future. God sees you sitting at 1611 Locust Avenue, but God, scripture teaches, already sees you seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Thank God. Listen, you've got some great days ahead, child of God. But when you ask Christ to come in to your heart, he'll clean you up and he'll save your soul. And salvation is not by feeling. It's by faith. But it sure feels good to be saved. You can't trust your feelings because feelings will change. But it sure feels good to be saved. Everybody has their own different experience. But my experience may have been a little different from yours. But I know at 2 a.m. in the morning when I asked Christ to come into my life, lying on that bunk out in the middle of the Mediterranean Sea, whoo, I got up that morning. Man, I felt light. Everything seemed so different. Same world, same sky, but the sky looked bluer. The clouds looked whiter. Everything just seemed so different. Why? Because I had been born again by the Spirit of God. And see, when he saves your soul, he cleanses you and you become his child. And he said in Hebrews chapter 13, verse number 5, he said, I will never leave thee. I will never forsake thee. See, Gideon was thinking that, man, we're forsaken. No, God has his plan and God has his purpose, and he'll come in at just the right time and do what he needs to do. And sometimes God will allow us to go through some things for a purpose and for a reason. I can't get into that this morning. But Gideon became what he was supposed to become because he had God with him. He became that. Philippians 1:6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. We have a great God today. The same God Gideon had is the same God that you and I have. Now I wonder what kind of God did Gideon have. Well, I'll tell you the kind of God he had. He had a prayer answering God that allowed him to be able to become what he needed to become. He had a prayer answering God. Notice Judges chapter 6, verse 36 down through verse number 40. We're talking about Gideon's God. He had a prayer answering God. Judges chapter 6, notice verse 36 down through verse number 40. And Gideon said unto God, if thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said, behold, I will put a fleece of wool in the floor. And if the dew be on the fleece only, and it be dry upon all the earth beside, then shall I know that thou wilt save Israel by mine hand, as thou hast said. And it was so, for he rose up early on the morrow and thrust the fleece together and wrung the dew out of the fleece, a bowl full of water. And Gideon said unto God, let not thine anger be hot against me, and I will speak but this once. Now, God already answered, but now he said, God, I need for you to answer again. He said, let me prove, I pray thee, but this once with the fleece. Let it now be dry only upon the fleece. And upon all the ground, let there be dew. And God did so that night, for it was dry upon the fleece only, and there was dew on all the ground. Only God could do that. Only God could do that. What a God. Listen, God can answer your prayers so that you can become what God created you to be. Indulge me this story. Many of you have heard it, but some in here have not. When it was time for me to get out of the military, and I knew that that's what God wanted me to do. It was in 1981 when I said, I know God wants me to get out of the military, and I was getting out for, I believe, the right reasons. I wanted to get out. I wanted to serve God. I didn't want to be moved around with the military. I said, I want to serve God. My mother needed a place to stay, and I said, I'll bring my mother, and I'll get a place and let her live with me. And so I got out of the military. I was single at the time. And before it was time for me to get out, the unemployment during that time, back in 81 and 82, was high. And when I would watch the news on television, and they would show long lines of people standing in unemployment lines, And they were just talking about how bad it was. And I stopped watching news. I said, because that'll mess me up and make me want to change my mind and not get out. So I just stopped watching it. And I got out in 1982 when my tour was up. And before I got out, I said, God, in order for me to make it, I need to get a job making $5 an hour. That doesn't sound like a lot now. But back in 82, that was good. I said, I need to make $5 an hour to make the same pay that I was making as sergeant's pay in the Marine Corps. And I got out, and I went to stay with my grandmother. I saved up 2 months' leave, and that's 60 days' leave. And I sold that back and put that money in the bank. And I said, I'm going to buy me a place. I said, but I want to get a job first. And so I went and stayed with my grandmother, and I slept on the couch. I didn't want to sleep in a bed because I didn't want to get comfortable. So I was sleeping in the living room couch. And 2 weeks after I got out, I got a job. And I went in. And by the way, when I went in, and this will help some of you younger ones out, when you go in looking for a job, I don't care if it's in a factory. You go in there walking like you're going to run the place. You understand what I'm saying? Don't walk in there with your pants sagging and all that kind of stuff. No one wants to hire you like that. You walk in there like you're going to run the place. I went in there. It was a furniture factory. I went in with shoes, not tennis shoes, shoes, slacks, nice shirt, had me a little briefcase, and a resume. I went in, I spoke with the gentleman, and he didn't hire me then, didn't say he was going to. I gave him the number to my grandmother and went on. Back in those days, you know, you didn't have the cell phones like we have now. And if you did, well, they had some, maybe they had those old car phones maybe, but you know, but you didn't have what we have today. So anyway, make a long story short, by the time I got back home, there was a phone call. The man said, I want you to come back in today, and I want to talk with you. I came in that day, I sat down in his office, and he said, we're going to hire you. He said, but we're not going to bring you in for the position that you were applying for. He said, we're going to bring you in as a supervisor, and we're going to give you extra pay, and we're going to pay you, listen to this, $5 an hour. Exactly, on the button, $5 an hour to come in. See, God answered prayer so I could become what I needed to become. And then God started everything escalating. But what if I had determined I wasn't going to get out of the Marine Corps? But hey, once I got out, got a job. 2 weeks later, I got out in September of 82. 2 weeks later in October, I got the job. That same month, he sent a pretty girl to Cherryvale Baptist. Amen. 2 months later, I talked to her on a Monday night. We had Monday night Bible study and Wednesday night Bible study. And I talked to her. I said, you know, we need to start dating. Now, wasn't that smooth? But I started talking to her, amen. I said, hey, I'm going to start dating. And she said, me? Me? We've laughed about that at the kitchen table, amen. Yeah, you. Here's what I'm saying. God started moving. God started blessing. Hey, I had a job, able to buy my place. Now I got me a lady, amen. You understand what I'm saying? And so, now God started blessing. God started working. He allowed me. And then the next year, God called me to preach. Here's what I'm saying. God is a prayer answering God, and God will answer prayer so that you can become what you need to become. If there's something out there that seems to be hindering you, hey, pray. Talk to God about that thing, and God can answer prayer and let you become what you need to become. Can you indulge me in one more story? You've heard this, many of you, but some of you haven't. When it came time for me to become pastor of this church, And the church had already voted me in as pastor. But I still wasn't sure. We were still over at Gospel Light. I still wasn't sure, 100% sure, if this is where God wanted me to. And I guess I was acting like Gideon setting out fleeces. Now, I'm not saying you have to do that, but I was saying, Lord, on a Wednesday night, I was talking to my wife. I said, I've got to know that God wants me to go there. I've got to know that. And so we prayed and asked God to speak to me in the service. That's why you ought to be in church when the church doors are open. And I said, Lord, speak to me. I've got to know, do you want me to stay here at Gospel Light, or do you want me to go to fellowship? I was praying. My wife was praying. We got in service that night. Pastor Bobby Robertson was supposed to speak, but he didn't speak that night. At least I thought he was supposed to. He had a different speaker in that night, and that speaker came in, and he preached from Deuteronomy chapter 5. And I'm out there praying, Lord, do you want me to stay or do you want me to go? Here was the title of his message. He preached a message entitled, Ye Have Dwelt Here Long Enough. Came from Deuteronomy chapter 5. You've dwelt long enough in this mount. He said, you've been here. You've been getting the blessings of God and so forth. Now it's time for you to go out and do what God called you to do. Well, hey, I mean, my wife looked over at me and she said, you got your answer, didn't you? I said, I sure did. I'm telling you, hey, God, and by the way, and I give God the glory. Last month, 20 years that he's allowed us to stay here, I say to God be the glory. Great things he has done. I think by the grace of God, it's time for us to become what God created us to be. Because he's a prayer answering God. And praise God, he is an enemy destroying God. Judges chapter 7, verse 2. Cleese are up heading in the home. Judges chapter 7, verse 2. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with thee are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, mine own hand hath saved me. You know the story. They had 32,000. God said, all those that are fearful and faint-hearted, send them to the house. They lost 22,000. Then they had 10,000 left. He said, all right, you go down there and take the ones who will lap up water out of their hands like a dog. Those are the ones you keep. The other ones sent home. They lost 9,700. They had 300. But God used those 300 to bring about victory over the Midianites. All they had to do was blow the trumpet, break the pitcher, and shout. And God gave the victory. Why? Because we have an enemy destroying God. Nobody can stop you from becoming what God created you to be. You say, yes, it can. No, they can't. Not if God's right in the middle of it. Remember, stop the mouths of lions? They couldn't stop Daniel. They put him in the lion's den. They say, you know, God gave him lockjaw. God gave lions lockjaw. Then the other ones, they got ate up. You know the story. Not only is he a prayer answering God, an enemy destroying God, but praise God, he's a life-changing God. He'll change your mindset. And he'll change your life. Notice Judges chapter 7, verse 9 down through verse 15 in closing. Judges chapter 7, notice verse 9. And it came to pass the same night that the Lord said unto him, arise, get thee down unto the host, for I have delivered it into thine hand. But if thou fear to go down, go thou with Purah, thy servant, down to the host, and thou shalt hear what they say. And afterward shall thine hands be strengthened to go down into the host. Then went he down with Purah, his servant, unto the outside of the armed men that were in the host. And the Midianites and the Amalekites, watch this, and all the children of the east lay along in the valley like grasshoppers for multitude. And their camels were without number as the sand by the seaside for number. Now 300 has to go against something like that. And when Gideon was come, behold, there was a man that told a dream unto his fellow and said, behold, I dreamed a dream, and lo, a cake of barley bread tumbled unto the host of Midian and came unto a tent and smote it. A little barley bread.
and smote it that it failed. But yet that little barley bread smote the tent and it fell and overturned it, that the tent lay alone. And his fellow answered and said, this is nothing else save the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. For into his hand, watch this, hath God delivered Midian and all the host. Watch verse 15. And it was so, when Gideon heard the telling of the dream and the interpretation thereof, that he worshiped and returned into the host of Israel. Watch this defeated man, once defeated, now talk and say it, arise, for the Lord hath delivered into your hands the host of Midian, all of those that are down there like grasshoppers, sand of the sea. God has given you the victory. Let's go do it, fellas. Praise God, he became what God created him to be. Mr. Ma'am, we have the same God today. It's time for us, by the grace of God, to rise up and say, I'm going to become what God created me to be. Let's bow for prayer.